See, this afternoon I'd like to speak to you concerning immodest apparel. When you think about our responsibility as we speak from time to time from the pulpit and in our classes, those of us who do so have a responsibility to preach the whole counsel of God. And one of the problems that we have among God's people is if we do not preach the whole counsel of God, if we don't make application to what is going on in the world around us, then we have a problem of not being able to properly apply the principles of God's Word to our lives in the ever-changing world around us. The customs of the land that we live in change from time to time. And there are principles in the Bible that hold true in any culture, in any society, no matter what the customs might be. When we deal with any kind of biblical principle, we have to understand that the biblical principles that God gives us are age-lasting. They're applicable to every society, to every change of wind among cultures, what people practice and believe and do in their societies. When it comes down to moral and ethical principles and religious principles, the scriptures are true to form down throughout the ages until Jesus Christ comes again. And we hear people saying, well, you know, the Bible, that's an old, outdated book. The principles don't hold true today. That's just not true. If we don't preach and teach against error around us, we won't make proper application of God's Word to our lives concerning an ever-changing society in which we live. In local groups of God's people that fail to preach and teach against false doctrine, religious, ethical, or moral, then what happens is those things will eventually seep into the local congregation. Modest apparel is one of those areas that we need to deal with from time to time. Our society changes. The moral principles, especially in modest apparel, changes with the society. Sometimes it's like a pendulum. They'll kind of swing back from one side to the other and go from one extreme to the other extreme. Our nation today is grievously distressed by fornication, adultery, unwed mothers, and abortions. The cheap literature on newsstands, triangular love affairs on television and theaters, and the lust-provoking attire worn by many contribute to the present state of affairs. The general public applauds such. Parents often allow it, and too many preachers and teachers refuse to warn the guilty. It has been appropriately said that women formerly dressed like Mother Hubbard, but now they dress like her cupboard. And there's some truth to that. And we all see what's going on in our society. There's a very special need for the modern Christian, to men and women, to appraise their attire. The burden does lean more on women, because the way God created men and women, it's the woman that has the beauty. The body of the man is not necessarily the body that is involved in appeal in the sexual realm. It's the female body. And so the female is much more restricted in what they show on their body. Now, that doesn't mean that the man can just walk around naked. He has responsibilities also. And I believe the man should just be as modest as the woman. But when we talk about modest apparel and we look at it from the scriptural standpoint, it's focusing on the woman, not the man, because the woman has the beautiful body that God has created that can arouse emotions in the man. And it doesn't work the other way like it works that way, because that's the way God created us. So we've got to understand that principle. Still, that does not allow the man to just walk around naked like many men do today. The man needs to keep his body modestly attired also. Now, the total consideration of this function involves reflection upon biblical principles of modesty. Much of the unchaste exposure can be attributed to a sin listed in Galatians 5, 19 through 21. So let's begin there. In Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, it says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousies, wraths, factions, divisions, parties, envyings, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, which I forewarn you, even as I did forewarn you, that they who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Now, we'll look at a few specific words here. As we talk about modest apparel, I did want you to notice that term in verse 21, "and such like." God doesn't have to specifically name every evil vice that man can concoct. That term, "and such like," can include many variations of what man does in the realm of sin without having to specifically name every sin out there. There are a lot of things that are being done today that violate principles in the Scriptures. They don't have to be specifically named. Gambling is a good example. People say, "Well, what does it say is wrong to gamble?" Well, it violates principles in the Bible. And so we have a lot of things like that. But we're focusing on those words that basically would fall into the lust of the flesh and immodest apparel. One of these words is lasciviousness. Lasciviousness means wanton, lewd, lustful, that which tends to produce evil emotions. It comes from a Greek word, asledia, which indicates a love of sin so reckless and so audacious that a man has ceased to care what God or man thinks of his actions. The emotions take control. Colossians 3 and verse 5 mentions the words passion and evil desire. Passion is defined as emotion rather than an act, an ungovernable desire in an evil sense. Evil desire, the King James Version uses inordinate affection, is similar, being the acting side of passion. It's a desire for what is forbidden. Lust is a word we use in the English. Passion, evil desire, are the results of indulging in lasciviousness. Let's notice first in the Holy Scriptures the need of clothing. Go back to Genesis 3 and verse 7. We'll see the first need with the activity in the Garden of Eden. And when Adam and Eve sinned, after they did what God told them not to do, it says, "And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons." Now notice that as soon as they sinned, the first thing that happened was they saw they were naked and they went and covered themselves up. Now, I want you to notice that. God didn't tell them to do anything. They did it on their own. But you know what? It wasn't enough. And this I've always understood is showing that man left to himself to dress himself. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 7 shows that he just doesn't know what he's doing on his own. He can't do it on his own. If it's left up to you and me of how we should dress, we're not going to dress correctly. We need God's guidance. Because if you go over to verse 21, you'll see God having to get involved to where man didn't do it right. And so in verse 21 it says, "And Jehovah God made Adam, for Adam and his wife, coats of skin, and clothed them. Now, wait a minute. I thought it just said back there in verse 7 that they were clothed. Well, it doesn't really say that, does it? It says the eyes of them both were open and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Guess what? Those aprons or girdles was not enough. Wasn't enough. It didn't clothe them. And people today that walk around in a lot of the clothes that you see in the mall, and we'll get to the swimming pool later, they're wearing aprons. They're wearing girdles. They're not dressed in the sight of God. Now, in verse 21, God clothed them. How did He do that? He made coats of skin. He clothed them. He covered their bodies. Keep that in mind as we study this subject. Many men... Oh, let's go to one other before I make that comment. Go to Matthew 5, 27 and 28. I want to look at a passage there. Matthew 5, 27 and 28. You have heard that it was said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that everyone that looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Now we see the principle of a man looking at a woman and thinking wrong thoughts and thinking of sexual activities. But we want to also understand that if we study this subject this afternoon, that can be instigated largely by what the woman may be wearing and showing of her body. Now it's true a man can look at a woman and she's fully clothed and undress her in his mind and think evil thoughts. But when a woman is undressing her body in front of a man with wearing scanty clothing, that's going to help the man to do what we just read in verses 27 and 28 of Matthew 5. So many men are guilty of this very thing because a woman did not clothe herself modestly. David saw Bathsheba as she bathed in 2 Samuel 11. And out of that came adultery, murder, and other sins. Think about how much better it would have been had she bathed in private where nobody could have seen her. Would you say that David was the only guilty party? No, they were both doing something that was wrong. The man is guilty of sin. But in many cases, the woman sins also when she is responsible for the sin of the man. Now, Bathsheba knew that there were other buildings around that people lived in, and they could see her in her area bathing in the nude, taking a bath. She knew she was making herself available for eyes of other people. So they were both guilty in their own situation there. Notice the biblical principle in Matthew 15, 18 through 20. 15, 18 through 20. The things which proceed out of the mouth come forth out of the heart, and they defile the man, for out of the heart come forth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, theft, false witness, railings. These are the things which defile the man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile the man. So that's the same as we find in other scriptures like Proverbs 23 and verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Whenever a woman acts or... let me say something else first. And I want you to turn to Luke 17, 1 and 2 before I read that. We've got to understand this principle that it's wrong to call sin. We can do things that can cause others to sin. And that's the point I want to get through here at this point in this lesson. Go to Luke 17, 1 and 2. Luke 17, 1 and 2. And he said unto his disciples, it is impossible but that occasions of stumbling should come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were well for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he were thrown into the sea, rather than that he should cause one of these little ones to stumble. We're responsible in the eyes of God for behaving in a manner that won't cause others to stumble. And so whenever a woman acts or dresses in such a way as to cause a man to look at her and lust, when it can be prevented, then she also sins. The same idea is expressed in Romans chapter 14 and verse 21. Romans 14 and verse 21. It is good not to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor to do anything whereby thy brother stumble. That principle is true also in modest apparel. Now, as I said earlier, we must understand that a woman's body is much different than a man. In our society today, men walk around without any shirts on from the waist up. Nobody thinks anything about it. I personally don't think a man should walk around like that. But a woman doesn't look on a man and lust after him in her heart when she sees a man with no shirt on, with no t-shirt on, because of the way God created us. Or at least I've never had a woman tell me that she had evil desire looking at a man that didn't have a t-shirt on from his waist up. She might have liked his physique because he had a good build or a good body. But when a woman walks around and shows cleavage, guess what? It's a totally different ballgame with a man. It immediately can cause a man to start having the wrong thoughts and lusting after the woman. So the woman has to understand that she has a responsibility not to be showing her body that would instigate arousal in the man. We've got to understand the principles of these things I'm speaking about so we can properly realize that the way I dress may cause someone to think wrong, and the way you dress may cause someone to think wrong in different ways, and be responsible for how we dress. Whenever we put clothes on and go out in public, we are responsible for what we put on. The kind of woman that can cause others to sin is described in Proverbs 11:22. Let's look at that verse. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 22. As a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman that is without discretion. There's nothing wrong with a woman being beautiful, having a beautiful body, but she must have discretion. She must understand that her beauty is to be used only in certain ways, within the marriage framework with her own husband. And so that principle has to be understood. Christian women must dress themselves in modest clothing. Now let's go to 1 Timothy 2, verses 9 and 10. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 9 and 10. And this is the passage, or one of the passages, that you're familiar with. It says there, in like manner, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefastness and sobriety, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly raiment, but which becometh women professing godliness through good works. Now I want you to notice here that this passage is talking about how they are to affect people with godliness. They're not to be like the women of the world that are trying to affect people by what they look like and having rich costumes on or jewelry and the braiding of their hair. Now, it's not teaching here that it's sinful to braid your hair. Some people have misunderstood this verse and said it's wrong for you to wear any kind of jewelry or braid your hair. That's not what he's saying. But that's not what causes godliness in a woman, the way she looks outwardly. That's what he's saying here. It's the inward attitude. So don't show your body. That's not what makes a Christian. That's the way of the world. What makes a Christian is the way you are inside, and you are filled with these good works of doing God's will. But at the same time, you're to be dressed modestly. Don't show your body like the women in the world do. Cover your body like God would want you to. That's what he's saying here. Now, modest means restrained by the sense of propriety, free from anything suggestive or sexual impurity, not forward or bold, moderate, orderly, well-arranged, decent. Someone says, though, well, you know, modesty is just relative, meaning that what is modest now was very immodest 50 years ago. Well, actually, you probably have to say 100 years ago now. For example, in our own society, in our old culture here, it used to be that if a woman showed her ankle, by Jew, was immodest. And so people will use that as an excuse today, and they'll say, well, you know, bathing suits are okay today, short shorts are fine today, halters are great, no problem. Because, you know, modesty, that's all relative. Because great-grandma, she couldn't even show her ankles, it would be immodest and she would be put down as a wicked woman for showing her ankle. Okay, now I want you to listen to this. These principles in the Bible, as I've already said, are age-lasting until Jesus comes again. Modest apparel is still in the Bible, and we must dress modestly. Sure, there are changes in society, but we've got to understand the principle we've read already in Genesis, that God clothed them. Now, that doesn't mean if you show your ankle, it's immodest today. But what we're saying is that a woman may dress in a way that causes or invites sexual interest in her on the part of the male observer. If she does that, that's immodesty. And what does not cause it and does not invite it is modest. Now, what I mean by that is that if you put yourself, you know, if you got a time machine, which you can't do, but if you went back to when it was immodest to show the ankle of a female in this society we're in today, do you know that the attitude of the male in those days, that when they saw the ankle or the leg of a woman, that would sexually arouse them because they were used to seeing not even an ankle. So it has to do with the culture and what goes on in the brain. Well, you may say, well, David, you don't get aroused today with seeing naked women because you see them all the time. Well, there's a limit to that argumentation. Once you start seeing so much of the body, it's always going to trigger. Now, back when the ankle was not seen, and a man saw an ankle, and that would start get them to thinking that could arouse them. Today, an ankle of a woman doesn't arouse a man because they see most of the woman's body nowadays. So there's a difference in societal concept, precepts, what they're used to seeing that does kind of change that. But modest apparel is still here. Modesty is still here in our society. Now, it might get to a point to where some societies get so corrupt there's no modesty left. I remember reading about the Babylonian Empire. They got so corrupt that before the Babylonian Empire fell, the high society women were going around in public, in the open, with no tops, topless, as we say today. And that was the style. So you can get so decadent that you get to a point, and we've got some examples of that on the globe today. If you go to areas where they have what they call the nudist colonies, and there are some beaches where there are nudist beaches, not for nudist people, colonies, but for anybody that goes on that beach, you can go naked. People that go to that, in their minds, they don't have a problem. It's an example of what's going on today. So you can have different variations, but the Bible stays the same. There's always immodesty. So we have to go back to Genesis and remember that when they put aprons on, they weren't clothed. Those girls didn't clothe them. God made them coats of skin and He clothed them, it says. So remember that. When you go to the store and you're tempted to buy the latest fashion where it's showing a lot of your body that you shouldn't be showing except to your husband. And same thing with men. There's clothes out there for men that show way too much of the man's body. We have to be selective in what we buy, and not just buy things because that's the style. Sometimes a woman will say that they do not dress to cause men to notice them. But Dr. Benjamin Spock, and I apologize for using him as an example, but he did have some good principles, and he actually did reverse himself on his totally wrong conclusions about training children. But here I got I think I got this from back before he even went into his problem with the children, you know, punishing them. But here I got this quote in an article. Dr. Spock talks with mothers in the Ladies Home Journal, and he stated, some people have a greater than average urge to make the opposite sex look at them by means of clothes or the lack of them. Certain of these people know it. Others of them don't admit it at all, even to themselves. I think there's some truth to that. They'll deceive themselves. Oh, man, this isn't bothering me. I know this isn't bothering me. You can see half of their breasts. Well, I'm not showing as much as so-and-so on TV does. We have excuses to try to be in that in-group that's showing their bodies. We like people to look at us and admire us. Well, women that have beautiful bodies want people to see their beautiful bodies. And that's what we have to work against. Shamefastness is another word, or shamefast, that we want to look at real quick. One who is unable to go into public places half-dressed. Their shame or feeling of shame holds them fast. That's what shamefastness involves. Shamefastness is modesty, which is rooted in our character. I never felt comfortable going out in public with no t-shirt on as a man, even though society does it all around us, because of this attitude in shamefastness. I just didn't feel right. Why is it that the woman can't go out half naked, but the man can? Why just because society thinks it's okay, what does that make it right? So I've always been opposed to that. Men, wear a t-shirt. Keep yourself clothed. You don't have any right to go around naked. I don't find anything in the scripture say you go around half naked, but the woman can. So society sets their own standards. We need to be clothed just like the women need to be clothed. Another word is sobriety. You know, soundness of mind. It is that habitual inner self-government with its constant reign on all the passions and desires which would hinder the temptation to these from arising. Good judgment, moderation, self-control, especially as a feminine virtue, decency, chastity. Well, I apply that to males also. I have never found scripture that allows the female to be set over here and targeted in the males over here. Oh, it's okay. I'm not involved in that. I think the male's just as involved in modest apparel as the female. I don't think there are two sets of rules, one for the female, one for the male. It's just that we have the greater problem with the female, and that's why God addressed the female specifically with the immodest problem. I'm convinced that there are many who are guilty of the sin under consideration who do not mean to be evil, who do not consider themselves base, but they've been led into their shameless attitude because they want to be with the in current style. And so when they go buy what is in the stores, they'll have a tendency. Now, godly women, and I've seen this happen down through the years, if they get the low-cut stuff, all they do is buy something to fill that in, those little cover things, they put that in, there's no problem with that. I don't have a problem with that. It's wearing it without covering your body, like the people in the world do, where we have the problems. And so, if they try to be like the women around them, they're led into that shameless attitude because they want to be like those around them. They have failed to realize that fashions are generally set by the worldly minded. It's not the Christians that are setting those fashion dresses and making all that up. It's the ungodly, worldly people. Look at the advertisements on TV. Most of them are sexually oriented. They're appealing to you through different sexual degrees, male and female, to sell a product, to get you to buy their product. They use sexual subtleties in all kinds of ways. It's never ending. It's hard to find a commercial anymore that's just a good commercial about the product without getting some kind of sexual deviant orientation involved. Once in a while, you'll have a good advertisement that's funny, has nothing to do with sexual, but not very often. So we've got to understand who's running the show around us in the world. It's not God. It's not religious people. It's people of the world that are setting these fashion standards. Not set by righteous people. For this reason, most of the time they can't be accepted and used. So let's get to mixed bathing the remainder of our time. You know, clothing reflects attitudes. People are enticed by the, quote, attitude of a harlot, as we notice. Foolish men have destroyed their souls in lust and sin. Proverbs 7 is a good chapter to read about that. Each year when the temptation starts getting higher, our temperature starts getting higher, people start taking their clothes off, and the temptation starts getting higher because those clothes are coming off and shorts are being put on, halters, bathing suits, see-through dresses, and other scanty apparel. You don't see it too much in the wintertime. You know, people freeze to death. You see clothes more in the wintertime, but more in the summertime. In the mall, you about anywhere you go, half-naked people running around. Television, oh, it's year-round television. What does the practice of men and women appearing before each other in such scanty apparel reflect? You know what it reflects? The darkness of sin. Not the high standards of God's Word. Now I want to read in closing. This is a little article. In fact, it's a little tract that was put out by a fellow by the name of Dillard Thurman. He had a little paper thing he put out in Texas called Gospel Minutes. He was in the liberal camp, but he was very conservative, especially in the moral issues. And this is one of the areas. So they would write questions. Here's a question to him. Dear Brother Thurman, is it right to go mixed bathing with friends and relatives? I would like for you to answer this in your paper, for I'm anxious to obtain an answer soon. ADH, Texas. Answer by Brother Thurman. My age is showing. For I was taught, while still very young, that it was not proper for opposite sexes to take baths together, even if it wasn't a big tub. So he's referring to a swimming pool. There was instilled in young people a rigid respect for modesty and decency. We were told to shun the very appearance of evil, and that included such things as nudity and near nudity. God does not change, and righteousness is not determined by men's desires. Sin is still sin, and that which tempts people to sin is sinful. David looked on a woman bathing and was led into such sinfulness that it blighted his life and the lives of four of his children. What man today can claim to be spiritually superior to the man after God's own heart? Surely one is a dunce if he is ignorant of the purposeful design of the abbreviated, revealing, seductive bathing suit worn by the shameless woman at the public swimming pools. It is a cut and fashion with calculated cunning to stir the opposite sex, and the sexier the suit, the more highly it is prized by the curvaceous flirt. These sirens of Circe sing a song of destruction as they lure other youths to sin. They are like Adam and Eve in that they were naked and were not ashamed. Genesis 2:25. But Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and then got into some clothes. Naturally, I must presume that those who strip in public are still in ignorance and will get into clothes when they also learn the difference between good and evil. After Jesus cast a legion of demons out of the man in the land of the Gadarenes, the people then found him, quote, sitting and clothed and in his right mind. If you could separate these near-naked exhibitionists from the devil today, I think you could then find them sitting and clothed and in their right mind. Pertaining to spiritual apparel, Jesus said, "Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." Revelation 16:15. But what lesson can these shameless nudists see in that while they walk naked and feel no restraint? They openly parade their shame as their glory and act as if they would be uncomfortable in clothing. They glory in their sex appeal and delight in the lustful sensations they create in others. Paul taught us, quote, I desire, therefore, that men pray in every place, lifting up holy hands without wrath and disputing. In like manner that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefastness and sobriety. 1 Timothy 2:8 and 9. Just how is the well-undressed man going to be led to pray with visions of nakedness parading before him? Jesus said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Matthew 26:41. I can imagine one is led to watch, but not to pray in that environment. If a man be overtaken in a trespass, is one thing, but to willfully seek the place of temptation is yet another. He's talking about the swimming, the public swimming places. Surely none will contend that women in or at the public swimming pool are adorned with modest apparel with shamefastness and sobriety. They parade their wares in shameless pride and care nothing if a weaker brother is offended. It doesn't take a wise man to determine that the appeal of mixed bathing is not in the water. Every photograph shows the bathing beauty in a provocative pose, emphasizing seductive lures on the bank, never in the water. The premium is set on this facet, not on swimming ability, nor on soap or scrub brush. This mixed bathing craze was not inspired of nobility and purity. It has never safeguarded a home nor fostered more devotion to God. No good thing has evolved from the mingling of the sexes in the common bath. Religious and devout people have long opposed it. It has been championed by the irreligious, the coarse, and the vulgar. By their fruits you shall know them. This worldly setting affords a bold woman the opportunity to preen before lustful and adulterous eyes of the opposite sex, and affords the lewd and evil-minded the opportunity to ogle and lust. If you don't want indecent men casting indecent looks at your daughter or your wife, then don't let her dress indecently. To answer your query then, no. It is not right for opposite sexes to bathe together as this world delights in and promotes it. Now that was written back in the 40s, the 50s, back there. It's a lot worse now. And there are a lot of Christians that let their girls go to mixed swimming and bathing places. Now I know a lot of Christians that go and swim in lakes, rivers, but you know, they don't go where the people are naked. They'll find places where they can go and they go dressed. They may look silly, but they do their swimming, but they don't do it immodestly. And so we have to use judgment when we do things in this life. We have to make sure we're not violating principles that God has set forth for us to follow. And modesty is one of those principles that we need to always consider, because we get up and go dress our bodies every day. And we go to different places. How are we dressed? Are we dressing immodestly? That's what we're responsible for. Immodestly is wrong because it invites personal adultery in the heart. It makes us to become a stumbling block. And this is a terrible position for a child of God to be in. It encourages worldliness. It endangers thinking that is honorable, just, and lovely. That's a lesson that I have this afternoon. I would encourage you to think about these things and try to make the best decisions when you select what you wear and where you go and how you dress. Because you and I are responsible to God for the way we behave while we're here upon this earth. And a lot of times, you know, we'll go do things for entertainment purposes and we just allow just about anything goes so we can get pleasure. We have to be very careful in those areas that we're trying to do things for self-gratification and self-pleasure, because that's where the devil will try to get a lot of things into our lives that God doesn't want us to be involved in. And immodest apparel is one of them. If there's anyone here that'd like to respond to the gospel at this time, we would encourage you to do that as we stand and sing the song selected.